Mariah. See ya. Y'all just slip through when I ain't here, don't you? Mm-hmm. I'm like Jesus, they didn't find me. But now I'm back. All right, like I said, I don't really have a title this morning. Maybe we'll figure one out after we get done or while we're doing it. But if you got your Bible, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Did y'all do your homework? Is that everybody? Sounded like a lot of y'all. Beth, I'm going to read this in Amplified if you got time to put it up. If you don't, it's fine. If you don't have Amplified, you can just listen or read it when you get home or something. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now we was supposed to read verse 4 through 8, right? And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. When I read this every day myself. And when I read this, I say love, God's love in me. Because this is not talking about natural love. Because how many knows natural love, it has a certain degree of selfishness in it. But God's kind of love has no selfishness in it. So that's the way I'm going to read it. It says, love, God's love in me endures long and is patient and kind. Love, God's love in me never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. This one right here, I told y'all, I don't remember when it was, but I've told y'all, the Bible talks about how the Word will speak to you. This one right here, this verse, let's say, is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Last week, I noticed this Word started talking to me. Love is not touchy, it's not fretful, it's not resentful. And I thought, oh man, I'm being touchy. Y'all ever think about that? There's something I want to talk about today that hopefully we'll get led into it. And it is this thing about people being offended. How many knows love can't be offended? An offense, when you look it up, it means a trap stick, it means a trap, it means a snare or to become ensnared. And once that happens, that's exactly what happens to you. You become ensnared. And how many knows that it's not your job not to offend me? Y'all real quiet. See, our culture today is trying to tell us, the church, how we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do. And how many knows they don't even know their self? Because if you're not born again, which you're in the body once you get born again, you're a part of the church, you don't love like they love. Because their love is selfishness. They can't have the love of God. Why? Because the only reason why we have it is because when we got born again, the Bible says in Romans 5 that the love of God was shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So anyway, this has not been touchy and fretful. How many knows our society today, the culture, the people today, a lot are very touchy. I mean, somebody waiting too long at the red light and you're behind them because they're on the phone or whatever and they don't see it turn green. Better be careful about blowing at them. You know, just beep. Why? Because a lot of people are touchy and fretful today, and they just might get out and want to put the whooping on you. That's how serious this stuff is today. And things that we say and talk about and say to people, well, that offends me, so that means I shouldn't say it? The number one person as the body of Christ that we are called to love is who? Y'all don't know? God. Number one. See what I'm talking about? Did you hear the answers? The reason why that's like that is because the society puts this on us, how we're supposed to love, who we're supposed to love. But number one, according to this Word, and that's what we're supposed to live by, right, is we love God. So what does that mean? That means I can't be for things that the world is for. Y'all not saying much. And that's okay. Because, see, we have lived, and the devil has helped us, I think, too, and as people and stuff like that, and tell us how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to love. And if I love you, I won't say anything that will offend you or anything. But I can't help it if you get offended. You can't help it if I get offended. Why? Number one, I'm not going to walk around everywhere I go, to the grocery store, to the church, to the gas pump, and think about, well, if I say that, will that offend them? Because, see, you can't talk about much today that somebody's not going to get offended about. And what I see in the scriptures, that the Bible says for us to speak the truth in love, but people got offended at them everywhere they went. But a lot of the church today, we have this mentality kind of like live and let live. I'll live my life and my truth, and you live your life and your truth, and we'll all be okay. How many knows that's not okay? Why? Number one, the gospel is offensive to the world. The Bible says that if I am a friend of the world, I am an enemy to God. But if I am a friend of God, I am an enemy to the world. You can't have it both ways. It's going to be either one or the other. So let's go on with this here. So we have to, this is talking about Christians too. This is not written to the world. So we have to make sure that as Christians, being born again, we're not touchy. Golly, Mom, I don't know why this is coming up. Anyway, here we go. There's this thing that, ladies, I don't know where it come from or whatever. Dee, quit looking at me like that. I'm going to look on this side. She's looking at me weird. But anyway, y'all ever heard of PMS? Why are you laughing? I'm going to tell you something. You know what a lot of people have come to realize that stands for? Pretty mean sister. And so we're laughing, but we shouldn't be. Because see, if you have that kind of thinking, you're going to be touchy. You're going to be fretful. You're going to be resentful. You're going to be irritable. And y'all heard this saying? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's not good either. April didn't say, Monty said, I know it. Oh, I can see we'll get far today on this. But I mean, for real, what is it? Have you ever thought about that phrase? What does that mean? That means if mama ain't happy, if everybody's not doing what mama wants to do, and mama's leading the house, which is number one, that's right backwards what it's supposed to be. So therefore, your house cannot be in order. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Number one, it should be if God ain't happy or pleased, it shouldn't nobody be happy or pleased, so we got to get this thing changed, right? Well, see, we make excuses sometimes for why we are the way we are. So therefore, when we do, we just let ourselves go. Just like I said, the PMS thing. Is it fun? No, it's not fun. Yeah, you have some people that your hormones and your emotions, they get all out of whack. It's painful, all kinds of stuff. But how many knows, at the same time, we're still called to walk in this love of God, regardless of what we feel. I mean, men are still called to walk in the love of God when they went to work and they worked all day and they're hurting all over. You shouldn't come home and be snappy or ugly with your wife. But see, we got to be careful about the excuses that we make sometimes to stay the way that we are when it's not pleasing to God. Let's see here. Love, God's loving us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That one speaks to me a lot, too. How many knows when the word speaks to you, it's trying to prompt you to change? So you don't have to fall into this. I'm telling you, I used to be so exercised, I guess would be the word, in anger, getting angry and wrath and all of that, till this didn't speak to me. They didn't nothing speak to me. It was like I was so exercised in it, the second somebody said or done something I didn't like, or what, just instantaneous, just rage seemed like. But now that I've been working on it, and I ask the Holy Ghost to help me, and I read this word, it talks to me. So when I get in a situation, I'm not just, bam, I'm mad or whatever. This starts talking to me. Love's not touchy, Teresa. And then when I hear that, I'm like, okay, calm down. That's a good thing when it talks to you. It helps you. He goes on and says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and in righteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Part of verse 8 says, love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Did you know, according to 1 John 4:8, the Bible says God is love? So this tells us here what a lot that love is not. But the Bible says God is love. Then you go and you look at how God is. But I'm going to read this in, let's see, what is that called? Oh, I guess I'll have to get over there first. This is another translation I thought was very good. It says love, this is the New English Bible. It says, love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, nor selfish, not quick to take offense. Did you hear what it said? Take it. That means I'm not giving it to you. You have the option whether you take it or whether you don't, right? And we're not supposed to be people that gets offended. Now, people can do things that you may feel in your flesh you're justified to take offense. What's that mean? It means you get angry, you blow up, you hold a grudge, all this kind of stuff. That's offense. And he says, takes no offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs. That would be forgiving people, right? The Bible says over in Mark 11, when you stand praying, what? Forgive. Right. See, but the ones up above that, that talks us how to get stuff, right? Whenever we pray, we believe and we say and all that, then it goes on down and it says forgive. Why? Because your faith is energized or activated or motivated by the love of God on the inside of you is what it's supposed to be motivated by. But sad to say, sometimes some people, they're not motivated by love. They're motivated by selfishness. What am I going to get out of this situation, right? Just like here in this church, we're not supposed to cater to one person. We're supposed to be here for God and do for God and for the best of the all, right? Not just one person. He goes on and he says here, but the delights in, keeps no score of wrongs, does not gloat over other men's sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. Love will never come to an end. Now, one more. This is the Phillips Modern English. It says, this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is new. See, Scotty used to be really, really bad jealous and possessive of me. And what that meant was I can't have a relationship with anybody. It wasn't he was just jealous about men. It was like I was his property. I can't have a relationship with my mother. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. There's a lot of young people in here and other people. You're not married yet. You don't want somebody that you're going to be their possession. And it says here, if they really love you, they're not going to control you and you be their possession. You get that? He goes on and he says, it looks for ways to be constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it shares the joy of those who live by the truth. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. Love never fails. That's why we say a lot here that there should be no divorce in marriage, especially if you are both Christians. Now, Scotty can't make my choices for me, and if I choose to divorce him, I can. But y'all have done heard the story about how it will be because I did it, not because of him, right? If we all did this, I mean really did this, 100%, there could be no divorce. There could be no church splits. There could be no broken relationships with fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and in-laws and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely not. Why? Because it bears up under everything and anything that comes all the time. Why? It is love. I mean, it is God. God is love. God is absolutely unbreakable. Amen? Let's go on here to, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read that in the Amplified too. Boy, we're getting off to a running start today, ain't we? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Before I start reading here, I don't know why. I guess I didn't pay attention or something. But I have read this. I mean, in however long you've been here, if you read your chapters, you read it at least one time every year, you know. So it ain't like we haven't read this. But for some reason, when I would read this, I would think about the world every single time. But I was reading this last night and this morning. This is not talking about the world. And some of the wording is going to show us that he's not talking about the world. He's talking about those that confess to be Christians. Let's read it here. Verse 1. He says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." We are seeing them today like never before. He says, "For people will be lovers of what? Self." That means me and mine. "And utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth." Excuse me. "Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters." This is the opposite of everything we just read in 1 Corinthians 13. "They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents." So we don't want to be in there. "Ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truths or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures." That would be your five physical senses. "And vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion." That's where that stuck out to me. I thought, you don't even consider the world having a form of true religion or piety, do you? Absolutely not. So he's talking about Christians, those that confess to be Christians here. He says, "For although they hold a form of piety, of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession." He says, "Avoid all such people, turn away from them." But notice what he says there. He says, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. The power of the gospel and the salvation that comes to change us. Just like me, I've told y'all the story. I mean, for years, the way I thought, you know. I mean, maybe y'all are not like me. I mean, maybe we're just different. I mean, my first thought, it's not as much now as what it was. And you don't say everything you think, you know. Surely you don't. If you do, you're in trouble already. But there's times somebody can be talking to me and not talking to me good or anything, and I can just see myself throat punch them. I'm serious. Maybe y'all don't think that. Maybe y'all don't have that thought. Maybe y'all's first thought is, "Bless God, let me give you $100. Let me go home and bake you a cake. I ain't there yet." Okay? I still have those thoughts that come, you know, that I can just see myself doing certain things or whatever. But I've come to the point now to where, how many knows the devil can inject thoughts into your mind? But he can't get them in your heart. What gets in your heart is what you think about, what you let go over and over till you meditate on it and it gets down into your heart. Then you will throat punch somebody. Guaranteed. But you can't stop the thoughts that come to your mind, but you don't have to think on them and you don't have to act on them. That's how come I said that 1 Corinthians 13 talks to me when it says it's not touchy. I hate to be saying something to somebody and I say, "Hey, so-and-so," and they say, "What? What y'all laughing for?" I don't like that. That when I hear, "What?" I mean, that just tries to get my dander up just like that. I want to come knock you in your head. That's how I feel. That's the thought that comes to me. But then, because this word talks to me and the love of God, do you understand the love of God has to be exercised just like your biceps? Is that a bicep? I didn't forgot. It is, ain't it? This one that's under here is supposed to be on the top, but anyway. You know, you don't gain muscle by looking at a weight bench. You actually have to get on there, and you have to lift those weights. Well, how many knows? It doesn't feel good in case you've never tried it. Just let me inform you. I remember. I ain't done it in a while, but I remember. It don't feel good. And the next day, it feels even worse. But you just keep on doing it. See, if something keeps happening to you and keeps coming up and it keeps making you have the thought about throat punching somebody or doing something mean to somebody or something, just keep working out. Why? Whenever a situation comes up, if you ask God for love, He can't give you love if you're born again. He's already given it to you. So what that means is now is going to be every opportunity that comes up is going to be an opportunity for you to work out that muscle of love. And how many knows, the Bible says it's already been given to us. It's shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible talks about in, what is it, Galatians 5:22, somewhere around in there. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And when we yield, it produces that fruit in us. But how many knows, that fruit is supposed to grow to ripeness. So therefore, when somebody comes along and they pick it, they get a sweet, juicy peach. A sweet, juicy apple, or whatever that the fruit is. They get a matured or maturing or perfected love. They get a maturing, perfected faithfulness, right? And love is not a feeling. It can have feelings. There's actually four different types of love, which we're not going to get into that today. But he says here, these people, the reason why... He says, they deny and reject every time that a situation arises. They won't yield to that love that's on the inside of them. They yield to the flesh. They yield to the anger. They yield to the resentment. They yield to the grudge. I mean, we had a guy come here one time. Him and his sister had been into it for 20-something years. They had not spoken to each other. That's awful. Because you don't know what you missed out on. And the thing about it is, I mean, just like Joyce Myers. I mean, her daddy rapes her from the time that she is, I forget how old she said, until she's 18 years old. And then later, God asked her or tells her, I want you to buy your mom and daddy a house. Are you serious? See, we can hear a pin drop now. See, it's not that we can't do it, and it's not that we don't know the way. The Bible talks about we have others that they have actually went the way just like she is one. To ask her to forgive him, and her mother knew about it and did nothing because she was scared, and she grew up that way. See, you don't know why some people are the way they are. And that really doesn't matter, because God can take everything that you've been through, and He can turn it around and work something good out of it if you'll yield to Him. Just like her, I heard the story, the testimony, she did not want to buy her mom and daddy a house. She said, I heard it just the other day again. She said it took almost every penny of money that her and her husband had to buy her mom and daddy a house for the man that abused her the whole time. And not only that, but I mean, she said she was just terrified of him. I mean, he was just, the way she talks, just awful. You know, it wasn't just the sexual abuse or what, it was everything. And then God says, go buy him a house. Well, then later on, whenever they couldn't live in the house anymore by themselves, then she had to put them in the nursing home and had to pay the nursing home bill. And them babies ain't cheap. But do y'all remember the end result of the story? She goes on, and her mama calls her one day and says, your daddy wants you to come over here. He has something he wants to tell you. Said he's been crying all week. Okay. She goes over there, and he tells her that he was sorry. All these years, he's never told her he was sorry. Do you know that the man didn't even realize the damage he was doing and causing in her life? I'm going to pause that for just a minute. Y'all ever heard of Lisa Bevere? John and Lisa Bevere? We have some of their books in the library. Anyway, her daddy, he was 9. I forget now what was wrong with him. But anyway, he was on his deathbed, and she's over there with him, you know, and to her, he wasn't a very good dad. And she said God spoke to her heart and told her, said, tell your dad that you love him and that he was a good dad. And she said, God, I can't. He wasn't a good dad. And God told her he was the best dad he knew how to be. See, that's just like me. I have made a lot of mistakes. But my motivation for a lot of what I was doing was to protect him. But I can look back now and I can see I should have not have did this. I should have not have done that. I should have not have said this. I should have let him do this. There's probably not a person, especially if you've raised kids, that is not somewhere or another had that happen. But you know what? It may have been that at the time you was the best parent that you knew how to be. And how can you fault somebody for not knowing any better than what they're doing? Y'all didn't say much on that. If that's the case, then we're going to hold you accountable for everything you don't know how to do or how to be. Now, we don't stay there. Once we get born again, this starts telling us how to do. This starts telling us how to be, right? And we begin to embrace that, and we begin to work on it, and we begin to yield to it, and we begin to change, right? But he told her, tell your dad he was a good dad. She said, I can't. He wasn't. And he said, well, he was the best dad that he... And do you know God knows? God knows that in that man's heart, he was the best daddy that he knew how to be, but it wasn't good, she thought. So she goes on and she tells him, I love you, Dad, and you was the best dad. Thank you for being a good dad. Do you know what that stuff does to people? See, the Bible says it's the love of God that draws us to repentance. It's the goodness of God. But a lot of people want to preach hellfire and brimstone and tell everybody everything that they're doing wrong. But when we overlook those things and we forgive people for things that they're like, I can't even believe you're forgiving me. It does something to them, and it opens a door for God to come in when we show the love of God to people. But these people he's talking about here, they won't let that happen. They won't yield to that because he says here, they hold a form of godliness, but they reject the power. The power of God is in His Word, and it has enough power in it to absolutely change and transform our lives. According to Romans 12:2, it says that if we renew our mind, our lives will be transformed. It means if I get to thinking differently, I begin to think like God thinks and talk like God talks, and I yield to the things that are on the inside of me, right? He says here, but these people, they won't do it. They may go to church. The devil probably goes to church more than most Christians. So that's not saying a lot, is it? He says, for although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. What's that mean? It means what I do is not lining up with what I confess to be. And listen, it's not that we're perfect. There's not a one of us in this room or on this planet completely perfect or flawless in the flesh. Right? We're all under construction, but nobody, if you've been saved any time at all, you should not still be where you used to be. We're all on a journey together. He says, avoid all such people, turn away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information. This is a good one right here. Y'all remember the parable, the sower sows the word that we was on for so long? Notice what they say right there. They are forever inquiring and getting information. It's not about the scriptures you can quote. The devil quotes the Bible, but he don't live any of them. So it's not about the scriptures that you can quote. It's not about the head knowledge, the head knowledge that you have up here. It's about this word, your relationship with God and embracing this word in your heart and actually, according to James, being a doer of what you hear. Right? That's where it comes from. But he says here, these people, he says, they are forever inquiring, wanting to know and getting information. So it's not because they don't know, right? It's not because they don't have the information. He says, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. This word is truth and there is no other. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is the Spirit of truth. He goes on, he says, now just as Jannes and Jambres or whatever were hostile to and resisted Moses, so these men also are hostile to and oppose the truth. Listen, we got people sitting in churches today that confess to be Christians that oppose the truth. Y'all not saying much. Here we go. For an example, what does the Bible say? It says, thou shalt not kill, right? Okay, when you look that word up, the word kill, it doesn't mean kill, like don't kill anybody. It says, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not shed innocent blood. That means because I don't like the way you look, I pull up my gun and I pop you. That's not supposed to happen, right? Okay, somebody breaking in my house. I have a right, according to Scripture and our Constitution or whatever, if you're breaking in my house to harm me and all that, well, yeah, then it's okay. Why? You're not innocent. Okay, Abortion. See, I don't care to be controversial. Doesn't bother me at all. Because number one, who did I say the Bible says we're supposed to love? God. Number one is Him. What does He say about thou shalt not murder? Thou shalt not shed innocent blood. And He doesn't say if this is the case or this is the case or this is the case. He just says don't do it. Y'all remember James Robinson, right? His mother was raped. And, you know, a lot of people that are for abortion, I'm not Christians, that are for abortion, they bring up this, well, what about incest? What about rape? Well, what about it? It's an awful thing. And a lot of people have had it happen to them. But there are some that they chose. They didn't choose that. This is my body, my choice. Well, I agree with that. It's your body, Samantha. But there's somebody else in there that you ain't got a right to make no choice about. There's two people in there. Y'all not saying much. That's okay. Well, then you go on. James Robinson, his mama, she went on and she had, I mean, I can't imagine probably the thoughts. Maybe she remembered that every time she looked in the mirror, that baby came. I have no idea what she might have possibly went through. But she went on and she had that baby. That baby growed up, he got born again, and he is helping people for Jesus all over the world with food, with water, with salvation, with preaching, all over the world. So you can't tell me that God can't take a bad situation, that bad things happen to Christians or people or whatever, and God can't bring good out of it. Not that the thing that happened to her was good, but He brought good out of it and He blessed nations. Amen? So He says, thou shalt not murder. So there's no reason. So for me and for any other Christian that you say Jesus is your Lord and not your Savior, He's all of it. When He's my Lord, what's that mean? I don't have an opinion. I can't have an opinion. Why? Because the day I got born again, I yielded my opinion to Him and took on what He says about things. So therefore, any time that there's anything other than that, it's not that I'm controversial. I'm talking about with other Christians. Why? We all supposed to be on the same page of that. Just say they got it today, it's my body, it's my choice. I'm not talking about the world. The world does what they're going to do. They sin, right? We used to be in it. We did what we did. Now we come over here. Now the Bible says for us to think like He thinks. Talk like He talks. Love like He loves. Do what He does. Be His hands. Be His feet, right? Here in the earth. Well, I can't do that if I'm going contrary to everything that is in this Word. Listen to me. I know people. I personally know them. That they voted for Biden. And I don't care who you vote for. That's your prerogative. That's your right. But let me tell you something. The only reason the people that I know that they voted for Biden, that I personally know them, is because they don't like Trump. That is not a reason to vote for somebody. Gosh, I'll get real quiet now. See, I don't care. I don't care what y'all think. I don't care what the world thinks about me. Why? Why do you think... Oh, here we go. I got just a few minutes. We might as well get on to this here. Let's get real deep into it. Well, let me finish this right quick. He goes on and he says, they have depraved and distorted minds and are reprobate and counterfeit and to be rejected as far as the faith is concerned. Well, you don't hear much of that today, do you? Then I'm going to go on here and I'm going to switch over to the King James. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. We're called to that. But I don't find a lot of people today that will stand up and open their mouth against what's going on in this country here and in this world for the gospel. God, we quiet again. That's okay. Let me ask you a question. Now, if you've been reading your Bible, you on the reading list that we do, you've read this here for years too. Do y'all remember why? Y'all remember the story about John the Baptist? Y'all remember why he got beheaded? Yes. You know why he got that? Because he told Herod, it's not okay for you to have your brother's wife. Next thing happens, throwed in prison. See, we're getting real quiet because nobody won't hear none of this. But what I find is the Bible says we are the light of the world. The Bible says we are the salt and the earth, and baby, we better be bringing some flavor. Y'all not saying much. Y'all remember why Paul and Silas got beat and thrown in prison, and that's when they began to sing at midnight and the earthquake came and all that? Y'all remember why they got put in there? That's it, Johnny. See, we like it whenever we read the scriptures about how God's going to give us our money. We like the scriptures over there in Mark 16:17. In my name, they'll cast out devils, right? But we really don't want to go cast none out. Why? Because we're going to upset somebody. That's the reason why they got thrown into prison. Because you can look it up. It's over there in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 25. It says that the evil spirit, they come into this place, and this girl with this spirit of divination follows them around for days, and Paul and them, they do nothing about it, and then all of a sudden he gets annoyed at it, and he turns around and says, come out of her in the name of Jesus. The Bible says it came out that very hour. Then when she was a slave girl, then when her masters come back and they want her to do the divination to conjure up evil spirits and tell the future, she can't do it anymore. So then therefore, that's the reason why they get thrown into prison. That's the reason why we get beat. I mean, they got beat. Well, over there, Jesus offended somebody everywhere he went. The Pharisees, the Sadducees. There was a few of them that did believe on him, but very few. You know, and everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, we love people, and Jesus eat with the sinners. I bet you they wasn't getting drunk. I can just say it now, sitting at the table with Jesus. Got my mad dog. Go. Here, Jesus, you want a drink? Y'all not saying nothing, but they want to portray that's the way we're supposed to be. They teach that Jesus taught love and acceptance. No, he did not. He taught love and repentance, not acceptance. We can't accept all this stuff that's going on. And sad to say, a lot of this has come over, not here and never will, but that won't be allowed. But in a lot of churches, that they are absolutely ordaining homosexual ministers, something that God says is an abomination to him. Well, then I can't go for that. Regardless of what I think about it, I can't have an opinion about it. I can't have an opinion about abortion. I cannot do it. Why? My opinion has to be what he says. And that's all I can say about that. But a lot of people today, they don't want to open their mouth. They don't want to stand up. They let the world tell us how we're supposed to be. Yes, Jesus sat with the sinners. But every place that I read it, they ran out to him. Zacchaeus, for an example, up there in the tree. Come down, I'm going to your house today. He gets over in Zacchaeus' house. What does Zacchaeus tell him? Lord, I'm sorry, and if I stole anything from anybody, I'll pay it back. What was it, fourfold or something? I'll get back more than what I took from them. That don't sound like he's drinking on his mad dog, does it? Of course not. But so we don't hear about that part, and we're not told that's the way we're supposed to be. Our life, we are supposed to live lives, and not that we are perfect, but our life is like Jesus. It has such an anointing. It sets the captives free, and it draws respect. Amen? I've got to stop because actually my time is up. Hey, I'm supposed to have 10 extra minutes too. I forgot about that. I bet I don't get it though. I hate to stop on just right there, but I have to because of time. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comments or anything?